This is the second service I've entitled Sacred Listening. We have a favorite reading service a couple of times a year, and I thought, why not explore music and the divinity it speaks of? I introduced last year's service by quoting Nietzsche, who said that without music, life would be a mistake. And when I read those words, I added a line to the book of Genesis. We are Unitarians, after all. On the day before God began his week's work, God created music. And that evening, God put together a playlist, the perfect soundtrack for the week's work ahead. And then on that very first Monday morning, God put on the stereo, turned up the volume, and got to work. There must have been music surrounding the creation, the big blast, the big silence that set in motion the stars and the planets, the multicolored gases that collided and brought light out of darkness. Why is music? What is music? The prayer at the beginning of the service suggests that perhaps God is the music that sounded before our world was born, sound and silence woven throughout the ages. Music is a powerful force in all human cultures. It can evoke powerful emotions and unite cultures and peoples. Just think of the songs sung in sports stadiums and upon the Eurovision stage. It is the universal language. It entertains, inspires, and evokes all kinds of powerful emotions. Music and culture are a place of innovation and change, but they can also be a window back to special times and places in our lives, a scrapbook of shared memories, a collective nostalgia. Great music transcends the times they were written in and even the people who wrote them. They are for all of us and they will endure. But for me, music is an essential accompaniment to life, to prayer. I will seek out music to lift my soul ever closer to the sacred. Last year in my address, What is the Soul? I said, that intimate pull we feel in our hearts towards beauty and truth is perhaps the soul's expression of itself. And when I listen to music as a prayerful exercise, it pulls me towards the sacred, connects me to the divine, and is the soundtrack to the sacred thread that connects all of creation. It can also inspire and keep alive convictions and deeply held beliefs. For this year's Sacred Listening, the music I'm bringing to you has stories attached to it, and there is a theme that I discovered. Now, some are short, some of the stories are longer. The music today is about relationship, whether that is our relationship with each other or with the environment or with that which you consider sacred. Lost Birds by Christopher Tin is a musical memorial to bird species driven to extinction by humanity. But it's also a celebration of the beauty of the earth. And it is also a warning about humanity's own tenuous existence on this planet. Music, like Lost Birds, calls us to protect this precious earth and God's creatures who share this planet with us. Lost Birds features lyrics from various poets, including Emily Dickinson. This poem by Sarah Teasdale features in Lost Birds. She speaks of war, and the war she's speaking of is World War I. but it is also all war, all conflict, all violence. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground, and swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs in the pools singing at night, and wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their whims on a low fence wire. And no one, and not one will know of the war, not one will care at last when it is done. Not one would mind neither bird nor tree if mankind perished utterly. And spring herself, when she woke at dawn, would scarcely know that we were gone. Now to Mozart. Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 20 was written 240 years ago this year. The second movement of this concerto is called Romance. I came to know this music after watching the film Amadeus. And that's a film adaptation of Peter Schaeffer's play of the same name. Now, this piece accompanied my cycles through the Bog of Allen, which was near my school. And it's on my Walking the Hills playlist. The sleeve notes for this piece tells us, this lyrical, passionate, tender, and romantic melody paints a picture of peace and a sense of harmony between the piano and the orchestra, and has also inspired its title, Romance. Mozart loved nature, and he had a starling as a pet. And when the pet died, when the bird died, he held an elaborate funeral for it. But Schaeffer's play tells the story of Mozart through the eyes of Antonio Salieri, who was a contemporary of Mozart. And Salieri is presented here as a jealous and bitter rival to Mozart. Salieri was deeply religious and believed that musical genius was a gift from God and should only be gifted to the most pious, the most excellent human being. Now, according to a very judgy Salieri, Mozart didn't possess the same grace and character as his music would suggest. Salieri just couldn't reconcile the brilliance of Mozart with God's gift of genius. Now, it is a fictional account, but an interesting study of jealousy and blind faith. As the story is told, Salieri eventually renounces God and takes his revenge by poisoning the genius Mozart. What use, after all, is man, Salieri says, if not to teach God his lessons? The score to the film Cry Freedom was written by George Fenton and Jonas Gwanga, and it was set in 1970s apartheid South Africa. The film centers on the real-life events involving South African activist Steve Biko and his friend, white journalist, Donald Woods. Now, Woods initially believed Steve Biko was too radical, but he attempts to understand his way of life by learning about his life and the lives of those who were forced to live separately. They lived in poverty, and they were subject to extreme violence by the state. And you all know this was one of the greatest moral outrages of the time, apartheid. This is the first political and justice issue I cared about. And the film had a big influence on me. And as a teenager, I would have marched against apartheid in Dublin around the time of the Dunn's Stores workers' strike. Now, this piece I'm going to play for you is called Black Township, and it's from the soundtrack to the film. The music is accompanied by scenes of a black township, Etowah or Soweto, and these were places that I visited about 10 years ago as part of my work with an international youth work project. I brought this soundtrack with me, and it evokes a sense of peace and beauty in the midst of extraordinary poverty and injustice. But it is the place where revolution and the fight for freedom was born. Gabriel Fauré, one of my favorite of all time, began writing his Requiem in 1887, and it took him 3 years to complete. And it's thought he wrote it in response to his parents' death. Now, Fauré described himself as a gentle agnostic, and I think he would have liked it here. Fauré was an organist and would have accompanied many funerals in his career. Speaking about his childhood, he said, "The only thing I remember clearly is the harmonium in the little chapel, which was close to his home. Every time I could get away, I ran there. I played atrociously, but I do remember that I was happy. And if that's what it means to have a vocation, then it is a very pleasant thing." When it came to his most loved work, The Requiem, he wanted to write something very different from what he called the hell and damnation that came before him. He says, "Everything I managed to entertain by way of religious illusion, I put into my Requiem, which moreover is dominated from beginning to end by a very human feeling of faith in eternal rest." He wanted it to be gentle and comforting, and it certainly is. A requiem might very well be a prayer for the dead, but it is heard by the living. Now, the last movement is In Paradisium. In a requiem mass, it is sung just as the deceased is about to depart the church to its final resting place. Now, in paradisum, in paradise, is a prayer that you may have eternal rest as Lazarus, the beggar, has rest. And it's a radical message from the Gospels. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man is found in Luke's Gospel. It tells the story of a rich man who lived in luxury and a poor man named Lazarus. And Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate, covered in sores, begging for any scraps that might fall from the rich man's table. Both men die, but Lazarus is carried to Abraham's side in heaven, while the rich man is tormented in Hades. And the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to cool his tongue with water, but of course his request is denied. He then begs for Lazarus to be sent to warn his brothers, lest they face the same fate. But Abraham refuses, saying, "They will not believe even if someone should rise from the dead." Now, in a sermon entitled The Impassable Gulf, Martin Luther King Jr. used this parable of the rich man and Lazarus to illustrate moral and social injustice. King argued that it was the rich man's indifference to Lazarus's suffering that condemned him to Hades. A worthy metaphor for us who may find ourselves slow to acknowledge the humanity of our own Lazarus, and of course society's indifference to those who experience crippling poverty, violence, and hunger. Also think of the indifference of wealthy nations and peoples to the sufferings of those who experience genocide, famine, and hatred. So the text that is sung is, "May the angels lead you into paradise. May the choir of angels receive you. And with Lazarus, once a beggar, may you have eternal rest." And now to our final piece. Is there music to bring the reality of genocide to our hearts and minds? I did search and I thought the main theme to Schindler's List. Now, this film is based on Thomas Kennelly's book and tells the story of how Oskar Schindler saved Jewish lives during the Holocaust. Now, those who he saved gave him a signed statement attesting to his role in saving Jewish lives in the event that he was arrested by the advancing Allied troops. They presented him with a ring engraved with a teaching from the Talmud. Whoever saves one life saves the world entire. This piece that I'm going to play laments the inhumanity of the Nazis. And I bring it here today as we lament the inhumanity of state actors towards the children of Gaza.